But from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters. The White House is launching a permanent Office of Pandemic Preparedness and Response. This new office will work to prepare and respond to biological threats and pathogens that can lead to a pandemic. Now, this office does replace the COVID-19 Pandemic Response Office. Joining us today to talk more about what this means for future pandemics as well as current public health issues is Dr. David Pate. He is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. He was also part of our state's COVID-19 task force. Dr. Pate, nice to have you on the show.
Thank you, Gemma.
And remember, folks, if you have a public health question for Dr. Pate, please send it to us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Okay, Dr. Pate, first off, why have this new office and make it permanent?
Well, I think this is a really good idea. First of all, I think that in previous times, when the government has done some pandemic planning, but really hasn't funded it in a meaningful way, and of course, having just gone through this pandemic and seen that while beforehand we had been rated as one of the best prepared countries in the world for a pandemic, we saw that actually our performance was fairly mediocre, and many countries did better than we. So, and I think it's an acknowledgement that pandemic risks are going up, not down. And as we've talked many times on your show, Gemma, this won't be the last pandemic. And certainly, we can, many of us who study these kinds of things can think of many viruses that would have much, much higher mortality rates, would not spare children to the degree that COVID did. And so, you know, while people, there are some people who think this COVID pandemic wasn't, you know, much of anything, the next one could be far worse. And it just makes sense that we prepare. We prepare on a regular basis, and that this be a permanent ongoing effort. So I'm delighted.
And Dr. Pate, the new office, I mean, it will work to prepare and respond to biological threats as well as pathogens that could lead to a pandemic. And I found this interesting because I think sometimes, you know, we don't talk a lot about a biological threat versus something that just happens in nature, if that makes sense.
Well, it does. And, you know, biological threats have been recognized for a long time, and they're real. We saw biological weapons used in prior conflicts overseas. So, and we know that quite a number of countries have biological weapons. You may recall that we discussed on your show that smallpox was the only virus that we have eradicated and eliminated from the world. Yet we keep smallpox vaccines and treatments in stockpiles. Well, why would that be if you got rid of the virus? Well, the reason is because we believe there are countries that have the ability to weaponize and reintroduce an agent like that. I, you know, personally, based on how difficult it is to use biological weapons other than in localized areas, I don't think it's our greatest threat. That doesn't mean we should ignore it and we shouldn't prepare as people get more clever and find new ways to do things. But certainly a natural occurrence, as we have seen many times, of an evolving pathogen is far more risk, just statistically speaking, than would be a, you know, biological, I'm sorry, a biological warfare or engineered virus or something to afflict us. Doesn't mean we shouldn't prepare for it, but that's not where our major risk is at this time.
And Dr. Pate, the office isn't just focusing on future pandemics. I mean, part of its goal will be to develop policies and responses to potential public health outbreaks, and that includes COVID, but it also includes Mpox, polio, RSV, as well as avian and human influenza. So why is that important as well?
Well, it's hugely important. You know, as I mentioned many times, we've missed long ago whatever opportunities we had to eliminate this virus. So this virus is going to be with us into the long foreseeable future, as best we can tell. But we do need, so we still need to be able to respond to it in the future, but we also need to realize that there are many other existing threats. You know, it's really discouraging to me to see a young man paralyzed in New York from polio in 2022. I mean, we long ago eliminated polio from the United States. So that's very discouraging, and that's a big threat. Mpox, we had that outbreak last summer, a year ago, was able to get it remarkably under control, but now we're seeing signs of some resurgence. So we have to have coordinated events. I think I was pleased to see those diseases listed, but I also think, as we've talked many times before, we need to be looking at other diseases that aren't necessarily a problem today in the United States, but are in other parts of the world. And we need to have plans for those, because it was not more than a year ago that monkeypox was limited to Africa. Now it's worldwide. And so we have to start taking these viruses in other parts of the world seriously, designing preventive measures, designing therapies, and being prepared, because we're such a connected world these days that it's very little problem for these viruses to jump to other countries, and as we've seen repeatedly, even other continents.
Dr. Pate, in your opinion, how kind of naive or insulated has the United States been, I mean, pre-COVID, when it comes to pandemics? Because I think we all think about the, you know, the pandemic of 1919, right? The flu pandemic that happened in the United States. But since then, there have been numerous pandemics around the world, but not many of them have truly impacted the United States like COVID did. I mean, there was, I'm blanking on which flu this was, but having to take my oldest to get vaccinated, I believe back in 2009-ish, when there was a threat of a pandemic, and that was the first time in my lifetime that it was even on my radar.
Yes. Well, you're quite right. Experts, of course, have been warning about this for a long time, but the general public, I think you're right, has been fairly lackadaisical about this. Frankly, we have a few times dodged a bullet. So, for example, with the first SARS that was in 2002-2003, I think probably most Americans don't realize Canada had a huge outbreak of SARS. We had very little, I think handfuls of cases in the United States. We dodged that bullet. And there were different things about that that made that more susceptible to us getting it contained. But we have come close a number of times. And the influenza pandemic you're referencing, the 2009, we dodged that bullet too, because by the time it got to the United States, it wasn't much of an issue, but it certainly was in a number of other countries. And so we don't need to be panicked or afraid, but on the other hand, this is not the time for us to say, oh, well, COVID is over, so now we can let our guard down. We don't have to do anything. No, there's real concerns about many of these diseases, as well as a number that they didn't even publish on their announcement.
Mm-hmm. And we should note that this new office, Dr. Pate, will provide Congress with a preparedness report every 5 years. And I would think that that is going to be helpful because we've not had reports like this before. And at least then, you know, you can lay things out and say, all right, here's where we are right now.
Yeah, it's very important that our elected officials understand the risks and that there is dedicated funding to addressing these concerns. And so I'm very excited about that because requiring these regular reports will at least make sure that Congress is updated about the threats. And now, we all know that they don't always respond to these threats, but at least they'll be updated. And it also means that probably a fair amount of this information will be made available to the public so that we can continue to be aware of these concerns. That was a huge reason for Dr. Epperle and I writing our book, because we know how soon after a crisis is over that Americans, we just move forward and we just don't give it another thought. Well, we need to give it some more thought. And in fact, now is the exact time that you would want to be giving this thought, because the lessons from the COVID pandemic are fresh in our minds. And now we're not dealing with an emergency, so we have time to be careful and plan. I really commend the government for setting up this Office of Pandemic Preparedness and Response, but there are some more things that I'd like to see addressed than what it said in the press release. Hopefully it will be expanded, but there's other things that we have to be thinking about now, and probably nothing more important than reliable supply chains for the future.
Right. And that's such a good point, because that was such an incredible issue in the beginning of the pandemic, but then we would see it, you know, other times as well.
Absolutely. And you know, burned in my mind are the images of nurses in New York wearing garbage bags for personal protection. And that shouldn't happen in the United States. And of course, Gemma, you and I have talked many, many times about various drug shortages. We have to secure these things for our country for future.
Well, and that's such a good point, Dr. Pate, because we, as you said, we have talked about that before, and I only have about a minute left with you, but that drug supply shortage, I mean, so many families are dealing with that right now. We talked about it on the show with ADHD medication. I mean, this is something my family deals with, and it would be nice to have this part of this office look at that, because things like this should not be happening.
Yes, or if not this office, at least somebody else, because it's not only just these medications, but you know, if you look at where do the ingredients for many of the medications and vaccines come from, it's India and China. And if you think about it, those countries have far more risk of being impacted from a spillover event from animals to humans than we do here in the United States. And if one of those countries was disabled because of an outbreak, there goes all of our supply of ingredients to be able to make things. So it's something that has to get our country's attention.
Mm-hmm. So bottom line, though, Dr. Pate, this seems to be a step in the right direction with this new Office of Pandemic Preparedness and Response.
Very positive. I'm thrilled. And I also am thrilled with the selection of Major General Paul Fredericks to lead it. Being a physician, having worked in the military, having worked on pandemic threats, having worked with other countries, I think it's a great selection. And somebody that's going to be in that position needs that broad base of experiences and knowledge. So I'm very thrilled.
Well, as always, Dr. Pate, really appreciate your time and explaining this to us. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.